Today in Canadian history for September the 14th, I'm Joe Barima. On this day back in 1936, Canadian Dorothea Palmer was arrested in what was then Eastview, a working-class suburb of Ottawa. She was arrested for distributing information on contraceptives to women in the area. She was working on behalf of the Parents Information Bureau, which was funded and managed by the wealthy Kitchener-based industrialist Alvin R. Kaufman. The charge against Ms. Palmer came out of a criminal code amendment from 1892, which governed the distribution of obscene materials. During the eventual trial, Kaufman's lawyers won her acquittal in the landmark verdict. Diane Dodd is the author of several articles on the Canadian birth control movement.
Dorothea Palmer volunteered or decided that, you know, she would do this, that she thought this was something that information that women should have. Contraceptive information was not available on a widespread basis at that time, and she thought that women should, in her own words, have control over their own bodies. Apparently, when she was arrested, she said to the constable, women should have control over their own body. They should be the one to decide when they want to have a baby or to become a mother. So that was her motivation. She saw it as a feminist issue, even though she might not have put it in those words or called it that at the time. Birth control was actually a term that wasn't coined until maybe 1914, 1915. So it wasn't something that people talked about. In fact, it was considered immoral, an obscenity, because this was considered obscenity. So information about birth control was lumped among other things like pornography or immoral material of some sort. So it was, you know, it was not only against the law, it was considered very immoral. It was associated really with, it was just not something you talked about in public. It was associated with prostitutes, sort of the immoral lifestyle. We tend to think of birth control now as being something that you go to see your doctor about, but in this period, and it was interesting, this came out in the trial when they interviewed some of the doctors, many of the doctors said that birth control should be under medical supervision, but in fact, there was no education in medical school about birth control at all, and many of them had very, very little information about what methods were available.
As I mentioned, Palmer's employer was Alvin R. Kaufman, a Kitchener-based industrialist. He was the owner of Kaufman Rubber Company. A very small part of his company was the manufacturing of contraceptive products. He was also the founder of the Parents Information Center, Canada's first birth control information center. When the Depression hit in 1929, he had to let go of some of his workers. After the layoffs, Kaufman hired a nurse to examine the conditions of his former workers.
Through her reports and Kaufman's own interpretation, he decided that most of these poor workers who he had had to lay off were they were poor, but they were there was an association between poverty and large families. Most of them had large families, and he felt that some of them suffered from feeblemindedness, and he made an association between poverty and feeblemindedness and large families, and he came to the conclusion that what these families needed was access to information and relatively inexpensive birth control methods so that they could reduce the sizes of their families. So he I would call a eugenist. He was definitely interested in those ideas, which were very prevalent up to the end of the 1930s, which is simply a belief that we should encourage reproduction among those who we consider to be mentally and physically fit, and to discourage it among those who perhaps have diseases or are mentally, well, the term they used at the time was feeble-minded. And I should say that during the 30s, because of the Depression and increased people on relief and poverty and so on, there was an increase in the activity of the birth control movement. There was also a clinic, a couple of clinics established. Kaufman established a couple, and there was one in Hamilton. There had been an earlier group in Vancouver as well in the 1920s. So there was an increase in the activity of birth control activists in the 30s. And I think what Kaufman wanted was to test the waters, to try to push for a trial in order to set a precedent legally that would make it clearer that, that they could go ahead and do the work that they were doing. Because Kaufman's mail order contraceptive bureau was active all across Canada. He, at one time, had maybe 50 different women, either nurses or social workers, going around visiting women in homes in poorer neighborhoods in Canadian cities and towns. So he really wanted to get a precedent established. What's interesting is that Dorothea Palmer didn't really realize when she went into Eastview that she might have trouble with the law. She didn't expect to get arrested. She thought there might be trouble with the clergy. Kaufman had told his workers that because of there was a clause in the act that said no one could be convicted if it could be proved that the public good was served by their actions, that is, in advertising, selling, or making available contraceptive device. However, I think in reality he probably knew that it was not clear. The law was not clear at all as to whether the work of organizations like the Public Information Parents Information Bureau was conducting.
Seizing the opportunity, Kaufman and his lawyers took over during the trial. They brought in at least 20 expert witnesses, including clergymen, professors from the University of Toronto, and the president of the Eugenics Society. They argued that the work of birth control clinics and centers like Kaufman's were in the public's interest. They argued that the use of contraceptives would decrease the number of abortions, and that the spacing of births would mean improved maternal and infant health. They also argued from a social, economic, and eugenics-based perspective, saying that reducing the size of families would reduce the high levels of alcoholism, poverty, and juvenile delinquency. What was lacking was an argument from the perspective of women's rights. Kaufman was worried that focusing on women's liberation or control over women's bodies would make it seem as though birth control undermined male authority in the family. Ultimately, Kaufman and his lawyers were successful. Palmer was acquitted and the standing held an appeal. She was free to go. The trial had a significant impact on the birth control movement in Canada.
On a social political level, it did in fact do what Kaufman wanted. It set a precedent for birth control work to work within the law. In fact, almost no one was arrested after that for distributing information about birth control. So it helped to clarify the law. It also helped to make it a little bit more respectable. The sort of specter, the trial was very well reported in the press, and you know, we saw the spectacle of many, many prominent experts saying that birth control was a good thing. So so in that sense, it really did help clarify the law and make birth control a little bit more respectable. So Kaufman, in fact, continued his work with the Parents Information Bureau, and I think he even expanded it after after this trial, because he felt that it was on a more secure basis legally and socially. So I think overall it had a positive effect as far as the birth control movement was concerned. Mm-hmm. it had a very negative impact on Dorothea Palmer herself. As I noted earlier, she came to work for Kaufman had only been working for him about a month before she was arrested. She had come in because another nurse had said she was fearful of going into Eastview, so she had done something quite brave and gone in expecting trouble because she believed that birth control was something that women had a right to. But then she was arrested and found herself in this very high-profile trial, and she became the object of a lot of hostilities. She was there were harassing phone calls. There was harassment generally. Her marriage suffered as a result of it. She was fired by Kaufman after the trial, and apparently at one point she was sexually assaulted, there was an attempt to assault her. She was apparently grabbed and into an alley by one of the husbands of the women that she had visited, and he very threateningly had said, I want to show you what it's like without birth control, and he tried to assault her. She got away shaken but not harmed, but nonetheless, she really was the object of a lot of anger and hostility on the part of some Canadians to the idea of birth control, and perhaps also the idea that women should be able to decide how many babies they have when they're married.
As always, today is a day full of Canadian history. On this day back in 1904, Olympic gold medal paddler Frank Amyot was born in Toronto. He was the coach, manager, and member of the first Canadian Olympic canoeing team. On this day back in 1926, the federal Liberals formed a minority government, winning 116 seats. And, as always, on this day, we aired this episode of Today in Canadian History.
Today in Canadian History is produced by CJSW 90.9 FM. The executive producers are Joe Burma and Mark Affeld. Original music is produced by the Fisk, Fletcher, and May Trio. Our series is not meant to be a definitive source on our past. Instead, we hope that it sparks a desire to learn more about our unique history. For more information on the series or to recommend an event or moment, check out our website at cjsw.com/today-in-canadian-history.
Kaufman had told his workers that because of there was a clause in the act that said no one could be convicted if it could be proved that the public good was served by their actions, that is, in advertising, selling, or making available contraceptive device. However, I think in reality he probably knew that it was not clear. The law was not clear at all as to whether the work of organizations like the Public Information Parents Information Bureau was conducting.
Seizing the opportunity, Kaufman and his lawyers took over during the trial. They brought in at least 20 expert witnesses, including clergymen, professors from the University of Toronto, and the president of the Eugenics Society. They argued that the work of birth control clinics and centers like Kaufman's were in the public's interest. They argued that the use of contraceptives would decrease the number of abortions and that the spacing of births would mean improved maternal and infant health. They also argued from a social, economic, and eugenics-based perspective, saying that reducing the size of families would reduce the high levels of alcoholism, poverty, and juvenile delinquency. What was lacking was an argument from the perspective of women's rights. Kaufman was worried that focusing on women's liberation or control over women's bodies would make it seem as though birth control undermined male authority in the family. Ultimately, Kaufman and his lawyers were successful. Palmer was acquitted and the standing held an appeal. She was free to go. The trial had a significant impact on the birth control movement in Canada.
On a social political level, it did in fact do what Kaufman wanted. It set a precedent for birth control work to to work within the law. In fact, almost no one was arrested after that for distributing information about birth control. So it helped to clarify the law. It also helped to make it a little bit more respectable. The trial was very well reported in the press, and we saw the spectacle of many prominent experts saying that birth control was a good thing. So in that sense, it really did help clarify the law and make birth control a little bit more respectable. So Kaufman, in fact, continued his work with the Parents Information Bureau, and I think he even expanded it after this trial, because he felt that it was on a more secure basis legally and socially. So I think overall it had a positive effect as far as the birth control movement was concerned. It had a very negative impact on Dorothea Palmer herself. As I noted earlier, she came to work for Kaufman had only been working for him about a month before she was arrested. She had come in because another nurse had said she was fearful of going into Eastview, so she had done something quite brave and gone in expecting trouble, because she believed that birth control was something that women had a right to. But then she was arrested and found herself in this very high-profile trial, and she became the object of a lot of hostilities. She was there were harassing phone calls. There was harassment generally. Her marriage suffered as a result of it. She was fired by Kaufman after the trial. And apparently at one point she was sexually assaulted, there was an attempt to assault her. She was apparently grabbed into an alley by one of the husbands of the women that she had visited, and he very threateningly had said, I want to show you what it's like without birth control. And he tried to assault her. She got away shaken but not harmed. But nonetheless, she really was the object of a lot of anger and hostility on the part of some Canadians to the idea of birth control, and perhaps also the idea that women should be able to decide how many babies they have when they're married.
As always, today is a day full of Canadian history. On this day back in 1904, Olympic gold medal paddler Frank Amyot was born in Toronto. He was the coach, manager, and member of the first Canadian Olympic canoeing team. On this day back in 1926, the federal Liberals formed a minority government, winning 116 seats. And, as always, on this day, we aired this episode of Today in Canadian History.
Today in Canadian History is produced by CJSW 90.9 FM. The executive producers are Joe Brima and Mark Affeld. Original music is produced by the Fisk, Fletcher, and May Trio. Our series is not meant to be a definitive source on our past. Instead, we hope that it sparks a desire to learn more about our unique history. For more information on the series or to recommend an event or moment, check out our website at cjsw.com/today in Canadian History.